You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So, instilling Christian values in children involves a holistic approach that encompasses various aspects of their lives, including education, behavior, and spiritual development. Instilling Christian values is a gradual process, and it requires patience and consistency. What kind of values are we supposed to be teaching our children? As I did say that Pastor Chiringa is joining me on the line to help us as we speak about all things teaching Christian values. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kirsty. How is SID?
It's very hot. The weather is not a make sure, but we are okay, Mfundisi. So I hope you are well.
Oh, we are fine. We are fine. Thank you so much.
Indeed, Mfundisi Swami. Pastor, before we get into the conversation, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us so that the Holy Spirit may guide us?
Yes, we can pray. Our kind and loving Father, we are grateful to be in your presence as we discuss things that are of eternal value in view of our families, especially our children. May you give us the wisdom to impart parents and children out there that they may know what to do in these times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, what are some important Christian values that parents can instill in their children? Because when it comes to values, there are values that we get from our homes, from our communities, and then we also do have those that we're getting from church. So what are those from church or Christian values that we can instill in our children?
Okay, thank you. There are basic values that must be taught both at home and at church, and some of them are very similar. Every parent and the whole world together, we look forward to see children who are honest, children who obey, who respect, who are faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there's this work, value ethic, which I can call work.
Mm-hmm.
Children must be taught to work even from the tender age. There are basic lessons that will drill certain values in them as they are taught to do that. No laziness, no lying and sleeping around, but busy doing something of value. These are some of the most basic values that must be instilled in our children,
mm-hmm,
as we bring them up.
Mm-hmm. So looking at how I'm putting to see some of these values, like I mentioned before, that, you know, there is a mixture of values. It's just up to a person now to choose good to these ones are my values, you know. So how can we as Christian parents, you know, model these values for our children on a day-to-day basis? Because, hey, children, they expose us, I'm going to say. We go out and say, hey, don't do that. Like, but mama, you do it, you know. So how then do we best model these values for our children?
Thank you so much. Like you rightly said, Christian values. When we come to that point, definitely we take a different route from the whole world. We are now talking of biblical values, which the whole world might not mind, but we are very careful and mindful of them. And let me begin by saying the first thing to note has been repeatedly said. Luke 2 verse 52, and Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, in pleasing God with all together with men. And in that passage are embedded the context of the values that we need to instill to our children. Children will survive in a world where he or she is before God, before other men. He or she needs to show how his mind is made up of, and his body also need to exhibit and to be kept in a way that speaks of what he or she believes. Hence, the first thing that every parent must think about when instilling these things. Number one is God first. Mm-hmm. God must be first in everything that our children do and know. That is very basic to a Christian family.
Mm.
Let our parents be told that God first. And how do children get to understand and to know that God is very important? The parents themselves must live a godly life.
Mm-hmm.
In the home, outside the home, at the church, at the workplace, the parents must live a godly life.
Mm.
They must fear God. They must obey God. They must put God first. Let me talk of little babies, little children, 7 years, 6 years, 5 years. They need to see. They learn by seeing. So father and mother at home must wake up and pray with the children.
Mm.
With the children, seeing that my father prays, my mother prays, my brother prays, my auntie prays. As we do that, we are already instilling that value which was seen in Christ, to fear God, to love God, to obey God.
Mm.
So to me, that would be the first and most important thing. Let the parents live a godly, visibly godly life.
Mm.
And that must start at home. And I'm talking of praying, opening the Bible, discussing or saying a story from the Bible, taking that child to church with you. You know, sometimes children know that the only person who goes to church in this home is my mom. My dad has nothing to do with that. Maybe there are parents who are in that kind of a scenario. It's unfortunate, but let me speak to those who together, mom and dad, go to church.
Mm.
Let the children see mom and dad go to church.
Yeah.
Let them see the parents participate at church.
Mm.
You are already beginning to instill that basic value. Mm. Maybe the second thing, if time is, we have people who pass through our homes time and again. Those people are our relatives, maybe our pastors, our church mates, and so on. Those people are very important to the teaching of children.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be very clear to the young and the growing child that my mom and my dad love people.
Mm.
They love people. That child will learn to love fellow peers at church, at school, at home, in the streets. That child will learn to love. We are told that in Japan, children as early as 4 years, 3 years, 5 years, when they see elders, they learn to greet politely, kindly, and then pass on. It doesn't matter who, whether they are in the streets praying or they are crossing the road going to school. They will never be late just by greeting that old lady and then go on.
Yeah.
Those are basic things that children must be taught, and these things must happen. Mm. There is the, let me call the second mind, the second consciousness of the child, which many parents are not aware of.
Okay.
That when you speak politely to your maybe husband, to your sister, to your brother, and you speak cruelly to any other, the children will pick it verbatim. Mm. They will know that it's not about love. Maybe it's about who to care. The rest of the people, I don't care, I don't love, I don't mind.
Mm.
And yet our children grow in a world. They don't grow in a vacuum.
Yes.
And because they grow in a world with many other people, they must be taught that all people are important in life.
Mm.
The aunties, the grannies, the whoever that passes through your home, through your place, let children be taught that those people are very important.
Mm.
Kindness and that lovingness value. they need that. So it's very dangerous for a parent, a mother, a father, to be kind to the children and cruel to all others. Mm-hmm. They are already teaching that child to be cruel to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that would be the second thing that we must instill in our children. Then the third thing that I will repeat is, let's teach our children to do something at home.
Hmm.
Work is a way of instilling discipline by its nature.
Hmm.
When you teach your children to do the cups and the plates, to do his or her wardrobe, your laundry, or if by age, some good age, the garden, you are already instilling the laws of discipline and order and work, and those have a way of ingraining in the child the very basics of life, love, kindness, and so on. There is no lazy person who will be kind. There is no lazy person who will be lovely. Those person always think that the world hates them. They are bad people. That's what grows in them, because that is what they hear around them. But when the child is taught to work, already he or she will know, I need to do things with my hands, with my mind, and I need to keep time. These things will come as that those things are engraved in the child.
Mm. Indeed. And as you were saying, Mfundi Swami, if we show the care, the children are also able to show care. But if we look at people with disgust and disdain, the children will also do that, because that is what they are seeing from their parents, right? So, Mfundi Swami, what are some practical strategies for teaching children Christian values, you know, such as honesty, forgiveness, and loving other people? Is it just showing them, or there are other ways in which we can do that?
Yes, there are two ways, definitely, the theoretical one and the practical one. The theoretical, always the example of Christ must be taught to the children. If someone has been cruel to him or to her at school or somewhere in the way, and she comes and reports, "Mommy, this one has done this to me," the mother now needs to teach those values of forgiveness and kindness. So Christ should always be taught. But sometimes theoretically. Then there's the practical. Nothing will beat the mother herself, the father himself, being practical in the way he does his things. If the child has done something wrong, You sit him down, or you sit her down, and tell him or her where she is missed, and then you explain what God wants, and then you pronounce that forgiveness.
Mm.
I forgive you. May God bless you. Tomorrow, do the best way. Do the Jesus way.
Mm.
As we do that, the children picks it up. My father can forgive. I also must forgive.
Mm.
My mother can forgive. I also must forgive. And so on. So there's that sitting down, that basic teaching in a very basic way, very elementary way. And then there's the practical way in which, when definitely every day will bring its do's and don'ts, its wrongs and its rights.
Mm.
So in those wrongs, if the parent can now see the child, explain, teach, and forgive, and then the child will know, this is what my father does, this is how my mother does it, she will definitely develop that spirit, that attitude, and it will be something ingrained in her. Something again that need to be very careful about is, let me be careful on it. I know it can be difficult, but let me say, parents need to be careful.
Mm.
The attitude of shouting.
Hey!
The attitude of shouting.
We are not shouting, Fundisi. We are just raising our voices.
Yeah. You'll find a way to explain it. You'll find a way to explain it. But I think it has gone the way I want it.
Yeah.
The attitude of shouting. When you are raising your voice, are you able to make sure your face is speaking love rather than anger? Because that is where the demarcation, you will not be aware that your face is incongruent, is in alignment with the shouting that you are doing. So then you will miss it. And when you do that, the child will be used to this level of communication that is very negative, and she builds that negativeness in herself.
Yeah.
Remember, and let me speak to you in particular, maybe as a mother and all mothers, that every daughter will love the father, but will obey the mother.
Okay.
Yes, one day she will definitely reproduce her mother.
Mm.
So you might think you are just making, that's the way you behave, that's the way you do your things, that's your attitude, but you are building someone who will reproduce that one few days to come. So she will also shout, she will also be negative, and where the mother did it 2 times, she will do it 10 times. So let just be conscious of that. When you speak to your child, the best way is serenity. If we can put on serenity, if we can put on soberness, their minds are so sharp that they don't want to be told mother is serious about this by shouting, but by the soberness the mother wears, the father wears, by the serenity the father wears, by that attitude of explaining that thing, its impact and effects on yourself and the environment around the child.
Mm.
The child will know what that means, and it will help. Yes, she might know, my mother does not want this. If you do this, she will shout at you, she will beat you, she will do this. I think that's the wrong way of imparting the right value.
Yeah. All right. Princess, we heard you. We won't raise our voices. Anyway, Princess, you know, these days we are in the age of gadgets, of cell phones, etc. The music, you know, it's a lot there. So how can we now as parents use literature, music and other resources to impart teachings to the children? And also, how do we introduce now that music? Because when they go out there, for example, they meet other things, they read other things, they watch other things. And now when they come home, we're like, okay, come guys, it's now time for Christ in song. They're like, angeke, we are not coming. You know, so how then do we go about that?
Yes. There is also the, I don't know what educationists call this one, educating by negativity is wrong. You need to educate by positivity. So what I mean is, let's not just tell children what is wrong about gadgets, but let's educate them the maximum best that children can get from using the gadgets. Let me say, there are many kinds of music that will pass through our gadgets.
Yes.
But there's always the best music that can be installed in our gadget.
Okay.
And let's explain what music does to the mind, especially the growing mind. Music is extremely addictional, very addictional. It molds the heart and the mind in the way people perceive the world and things. So if children are taught to install in their gadgets the right music, you can discuss with them and pick the right music with them so that you are all agreeing this is the best. You don't just say, put this music there in your phone and this music in your laptop and this music in your iPad. No, Let's sit down, go through the array of music, of songs. Let's agree. This one is good for the soul. This one is good for the mind. This one is good for the heart. This one is good for a child of God. This one is good for a nanny child of God. So let's agree which one I'm going to put where. And then we agree. And they install that which is good. The chances that they will sneak into trespassed zones is very high, is also there. But at least you have a ground that you have agreed with your child. Let's do this. Let's put this in our gadgets. So that they are not told from a negative world where they are told the music that you play is bad, the music that you play is not good, the things that you do, and you don't put that which is right. So the best way is, let's put that which is right in that gadget, so that the child will know, in my gadget there's this and there's this. Then explaining things is also very important. Let's explain, like I said, the music. Let's explain the kind of videos or whatever they will see in their gadgets. Let's explain what they do to the mind.
Yeah.
Impact and its effect. Let's agree with the child to make some covenant.
Okay.
Myself, my child, and God. Let's make a covenant that will not allow the world to invade my value, will not allow the world to create music and videos that will destroy me, because I'm a child of God who is important to him and useful to the world and to my family.
Yep.
So because of that, can we now agree that we'll not allow these things to invade my gadget and to be installed in my gadgets? I know the devil is a way of whispering things through these gadgets, but to install something is now a different thing. Things can pop up, show up, and try to squeeze their way into the front page of my gadget. That thing will happen, but I will not install it. I will not allow it to stay there because of who I am. I am a child of God. So when these things are taught while people are seated, there's no shouting, there's no negative thing, there is no this is right, this is bad, this is what you do is bad, the friend is bad. No. We are sitting and analyzing things together.
Yep.
And we are agreeing and we are going into a covenant together with God. It allows me as a parent to make a follow-up time and again, here and there, checking, are we still in our covenant? Yep. Are we still in our contract with God? In all earnestness and honestness, the child can say, maybe I've fallen down. Can we pray together? Then we pray. I also want to say, praying with the child time and again, nothing will beat that.
Yes.
For father to say to his child, now come, let's go into your spare room. I'm here to pray. You are going to pray and I'll pray, or I'll pray and you pray. What do you want us to pray for? She or he speaks, may you pray for this and pray for that. You will find that they will speak these things. And then let's pray. You can open just one verse, not more than two, just one verse, as the clay promised to claim, and then we pray. And when we pray, you continue to be friends. Father and son, father and daughter are friends. And when it's time for serious business, they do serious business. That child will continue and remember those values in his or in her life, even after the afterlife of his parent.
You know, Mpundisi, just so we have a listener who is saying that true content. Thank you so much, Mpundisi. They are listening. We have a listener, Pastor, listening. And just to catch on, you know, on your last point there, it's I've seen it, for example, with my children. I know sometimes it's because they don't want to go to sleep, you know, but every time I'm like, it's time to sleep. Everyone, please go to your rooms, go to your rooms. You know, they would come through and say, but mommy, we have not prayed. You know, they make sure, because sometimes I'm like, guys, please go to sleep, because time now, I'm thinking tomorrow they're going to struggle waking up. They're like, mommy, but we have not prayed. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Come, let us pray. So it's right that when you pray with them, you encourage that prayer life, and you also instill that value that before you go to sleep, just talk to the Father in heaven. And I've seen that with my children. It does certainly work. So Mpundiswami, as we wrap up the conversation, you know, how can we now create an environment that supports the development of Christian values in children?
Let me say, children, the first two people they know who are right are their father and their mother. Mm. These are the first people in the world that they know that these ones, they are right. Mm. They are right in what they say. They are right in the way they do. They are right in that they are right. Mm. So parents must be right. Mm. We must be right in the way we talk. Mm. Let's talk right. Mm. We must be right in the way we behave in the presence of other people, at work, at home, at school, church. Let's be right. Mm. Let's be right in the way we ourselves behave within ourselves. Let's be right. Mm. If I want my children to obey their father, I must be the first to obey my husband. Mm. If I want my children to obey their mother, I must be the first to respect my wife. Mm. So we are the right. If we do it wrong, they will produce wrong. You notice that there are children who are orphans. Mm. About 70% of those children, they grow right. Mm. 70%, except those who are caught up in drugs and other things. But those who grow well, they grow right. They progress in life. The reason is because sometimes they grow under difficult conditions. They've told themselves, she's not my mother. Mm. This stepmother is not my mother. Mm. This stepfather is not my father. I will not do the way he does it. Mm. I will not be like him. I don't want to be like him. So those children, they somehow build good behavior for mm-hmm. themselves mm-hmm. without a parent. Mm. But I'm now speaking to us who are there for our children. Let's do it right. Yeah. So that our children will say it's right to do what is right, because mm. that is how my parents has taught me. Mm. You don't know how pleasing it is when you are grown up and your child is speaking about you. Let's say you are still alive. And she says, my mother has taught me to be kind. Mm. My mother has taught me to love, mm. to forgive. My mother has taught me to work. Mm. You don't know how satisfied as a parent you become, how fulfilled you feel, how good you feel that I've done the right thing for my mm. child. Mm. May this be the kind of final words that I encourage all parents mm. to be. Thank you.
Mpundisi, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us as parents so that we don't, for lack of a better word, lead our children astray, you know, by not teaching them these values, but we may teach them the right way, teach them the right things, and make sure that when they grow up, we are able to be proud and say, that's my child that is standing up there. So if you can just please pray for us parents.
Shall we pray? Our kind and loving Father, we come before you as parents with a very difficult responsibility of bringing up our child. We live in a society that stresses up daily. Mm. And this stress catches up in our homes, and our children find themselves in living under things that they are not supposed to see or hear.
Mm.
We pray that as we struggle to do our best for your name in our children,
mm.
may you assist us to be sober, so that when we behave in the presence of our children, they read, they count that soberness, that godliness, that peacefulness in us. We also want to pray for the wisdom that goes by it, that your Holy Spirit may allow us, when we speak to our children, that they will hear, that they will listen,
mm.
and that they will do. We pray for them. They also grow in a much difficult condition,
mm.
where the world around them is just going in the opposite direction from the direction Christ is leading.
Mm.
We pray that you may allow us to see our children grow in your name, grow in these values, grow in love, in kindness, in goodness, in faithfulness and loyalty. Children who can be trusted, blessed children who have work ethic, children who are a blessing to the families, to the church, and to the world. Thank you for the program. May you continue to assist our hosts, that they continue to produce kind of programs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundis, thank you so much for coming through and helping us as parents there not to shout. Everyone, that one, Fundis, I'm stuck there. Yeah? We will make sure the decibels in the voice go down so we don't shout at the children. May you have yourself a blessed day and have a lovely Sabbath.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath to all. We'll be with you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.